Senator Morrison.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Members, as usual, will you be so kind as to stand? Today's chaplain is Reverend Daniel Hagen from Lumen Christi Catholic Community in St. Paul. As usual, following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Almighty God, in you we trust and pray your blessing on this State Senate and its members. In these first days of spring, may we see the example of new life emerging from the bleakest of seasons. Confident in your care and sure of your purpose, as trees planted by streams of living waters, may we extend our roots, ourselves, our energy, our desires, to the refreshment of your life-giving spirit. Blessed are you, God of truth and justice. Guide the women and men of this State Senate. Grant them wisdom, insight, courage, and compassion. And grant that we, whom they seek to serve, may give them the support they need. God bless these elected members, their families, staff, and constituents in a special way this day, in order that they may continue to reach for the highest, noblest, and greatest benefits for this great state of Minnesota. And the Senate says, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you, members. The secretary will take the roll.
Abler, Anderson, Barr, Bolden, Carlson, Champion, Coleman, Swadzinski, Dames, Dibble, Dornick, Dreheim, Draskowski, Duckworth, Dietzick, Eichhorn, Farnsworth, Fate, Frentz, Green, Grunhagen, Gustafson, Hochschild, Herr, Hoffman, Housley, Howe, Jasinski, Johnson, Klein, Coran, Kroon, Kunisch, Kupek, Lang, Latz, Liske, Limmer, Lucero, Mann, Marty, Matthews, Mayquaid, McEwen, Miller, Mitchell, Muhammad, Morrison, Murphy, Nelson, Umover, Baton, Pappas, Pa, Port, Pratt, Putnam, Rarick, Rasmussen, Rest, Seeberger, Utke, Weber, Wiesenberg, Westland, Westrom, Wickland, Zhang.
Pursuant to Rule 14.1, the following members intend to vote under Rule 40.7. Senator Dietzick, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Senator Pa, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. And Senator Westrom, Alexandria, Minnesota. Members, a quorum is present. As usual, members, if you want to follow along, I am reading today Senate agenda dated Monday, March 27, 2023. And we will begin with the first order of business, or the third order of business. Messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House file numbers 146, 1200, and 1656. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Members, no action is required. We will now proceed to the fourth order of business, first reading of House bills. The House files have been given their first reading and referred as indicated. Members, we will now proceed to the fifth order of business, which is reports of committees.
Mr. President.
Senator Morrison for the motion to adopt committee reports.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda and addendum be adopted with the exception of the reports pertaining to Joint Rule 2.03, and I do request a roll call.
Any discussion? Senator Abler.
Thank you, Mr. President. And it's relative to Senate File 63, which has to do with the gender-affirming sanctuary. There's some provisions in there which actually could result in the taking of young adults.
Senator Abler.
It's my intention to make a Rule 21 motion
there
on that. Because of that reason, it should go to Human Services, Mr. President. Thank you.
Senator Abler, thank you so kindly. And members, I just want to remind you so that folks don't think I was being rude to Senator Abler. If you look at Rule 21, it indicates that whenever you're going to do a Rule 21, the bill must be referred without debate to the committee.
Mr. President.
So with that being said, the motion is before the body for it to be re-referred.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was just trying to do like a 20-second update so people might know which bill it was. Mr. President, thank you very much.
Thank you. It just happens. That particular bill will be referred to rules. Now, on the underlining motion, Senator Morrison, any discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll. Members, please vote. All senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 39 ayes and 18 noes, the motion prevails. Members, I will now go to individual senators for motions. Senator Morrison. Sorry about that. Nope. I need to go to the sixth order of business. So I'm so anxious. I just want to keep going expeditiously here. Sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. The secretary will read the Senate file numbers.
Senate file numbers 2542, 2818, 2819, 2212, 1384, 1424, 2904, 803, 1459, 1394, 2171, 2369, 834, 2219, 1298, and 1598.
The Senate files have been given their second reading. Members, we will now proceed to the eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills listed on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading and referred as indicated. Members, we'll go back to the seventh order of business, the second reading of House bills.
Which one are we looking at? House file number 366.
Second reading has been provided. Now we'll proceed to the eighth order of business. Introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills listed on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading and referred as indicated. We will now proceed to the ninth order of business. We will adopt the author's motion as one motion. All in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Now we will do individual Senate motions. Senator Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that Senate File 1029 be withdrawn from the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection and be re-referred to the Committee on Health and Human Services. This is my bill, and both chairs are aware.
On that motion, Senator Morrison moved that Senate File Number 1029 be withdrawn from the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection and re-referred to the Committee on Health and Human Services. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senator Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that Senate File 1132 be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. It was on general orders, and it needs to go back to Finance, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Morrison moved that Senate File Number 1132, now 139 on general orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senate Resolution Number 29 will be referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. Remaining under the order of business of motions and resolutions, Senator Morrison.
Mr. President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills to be made special orders for immediate consideration. Members, the list is on your desk.
Members, as Senator Morrison indicated, the special orders list is on your desk. We are now have before us House File 1440. Senator Port.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, we will debate and pass House File 1440 today. We all want to provide for our families, to have a safe place to call home and pursue our dreams. But for too many Minnesotans, having and keeping a home is out of reach. 48% of renters in Minnesota are cost burdened. That means paying more than 30% of their income on rent. 24% of Minnesota renters are severely cost burdened, spending more than 50% of their income on rent. That's 590,000 Minnesota families at risk of having to choose between a home and other basic needs like food or medicine. These pressures lead to eviction and homelessness. In 2023, evictions are up 65% over pre-pandemic averages. This is not a catch-up in our court system. This is the new normal. And this is not just affecting adults in Minnesota. On a given night in January, 7,232 children were homeless with their families. Another 1,659 children were homeless with no adult. 297,000 Minnesota children live in cost-burdened homes. That's 21% of all households with children in Minnesota. And as you would suspect, based on Minnesota's egregious racial disparities, cost-burdened households do not affect everyone equally. Of the cost-burdened households with children, 16% are white households, 29% are Hispanic households, and 43% are Black households. It's easy to think that these families should just move to a less expensive apartment, but it's not that simple. 167,522 extremely low-income households live in Minnesota. That's people who make $30,000 or less for their household annually. And there are 63,000 available affordable homes at that level. That means we have a shortage of over 100,000 affordable homes at the price point that these families need. We absolutely must do more to build at this level of affordability. And I'm really grateful that we will be making an incredible, historic investment in our housing budget bill. But building supply takes time, and we are decades behind. So we must support the assistance that we know works. The Family Homelessness Prevention Assistance Programs provides funding to 20 grantees across all 87 counties and 11 tribal nations. Grants under this program help stabilize families in their existing homes, shortening the amount of time that families are in emergency shelter, or assist family with securing transitional or affordable permanent housing. Today, we're moving $50 million into this program to help keep families and children in stable housing. Stable housing is the foundation of everything else in our lives. Without a stable home, education outcomes, job prospects, and health all suffer. MDH recently released its Minnesota Homelessness Mortality Report, which showed that homelessness significantly shortens an individual's life expectancy, to the extent that a 20-year-old person experiencing homelessness has the same likelihood of death as a 50-year-old in the general population. We can save lives today, protect children from the trauma of homelessness, keep families together and in stable housing. Please vote Green.
Senator Dreheim.
Thank you, President Champion, and thank you, Senator Port, for bringing this bill forward and for your passion for housing. Members, it is true we do have a housing crisis on our hand that affects everybody. The rent is too high, cost of a house is too high, and we need to do more. And I hope as we are looking at our targets and our year-end budget bills, I hope that the housing chair will get at the root cause of the problem, which is not enough units are being built. But with that being said, I want to address a different issue in the bill. If we look at lines 1.13 and 1.14, we have a statute right now that puts a time frame on this rental assistance. And that time frame is 2 years. If you think about it, we have the highest wages we've ever had. We are investing the most amount we've ever done before in entitlement programs. We have programs for food, housing, utilities, cell phone, transportation, almost every aspect of life, we have a social program for them. We have some of the lowest unemployment in the nation. We have a ton of job openings. I do not feel at this time it is prudent to take out the 2-year, 24-month rental assistance guideline. So I have an amendment that would reinstate that 24-month. It's the A1, Mr. President.
Senator Dreheim offers the A1 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Dreheim moves to amend House File 1440 as follows. Page 1, delete lines 13 and 14. This is the A1 amendment.
Senator Dreheim.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, the A1 just puts back in statute what we've had long term, that there's a 2-year limit on this program. It's a worthy program, but I think at some time we have to look at the underlying circumstances of why they need aid for more than 2 years. And we need to address the underlying other programs we have, why they're not meeting the needs of the families to find affordable housing. Thank you. I urge a green vote.
Senator Port, so Senator Dreheim, were you requesting a roll call because you said a green vote?
Yes, I would ask for a roll call.
Roll call, requested roll call granted. Senator Port.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Dreheim for this amendment. Members, I want to just say a couple of things about this. Let me talk for a minute about Pennington County. It's a county that doesn't have very many evictions, but the number of filings of evictions has more than doubled. And it's a county where rents went up 34% in the last year, but income went up only 17%. There is no other place for these families to go. There are 335 very low-income households in that county, but only 175 units that they can afford. So I understand what you're saying, Senator Dreheim and Mr. President, that we don't want families to be in these positions for more than 24 months, but the reality is they are. The most in-demand jobs we have in Minnesota right now are nursing assistants, home health care personal aides, fast food and retail workers, and the average income for those, the highest one of those, is $37,000. That does not get you to the point where you are no longer cost burdened. So, you know, until we have more units built, which we are going to be investing in my housing bill, until wages are raised so families don't need to meet these requirements and they don't meet them anymore, members, I ask for a no vote.
Seeing no additional discussion, the secretary will take the roll on the A1 amendment. Members, please vote. Senator Murphy, those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, President Champion. Senator Dietzick votes no.
Senator Dietzick votes no.
Senator Pa votes no.
Senator Pa votes no. Senator Jasinski, those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Western votes aye.
Senator Western votes aye. All senators voting who has a desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There have been 29 ayes and 33 noes. The amendment is not adopted. Senator Dreheim.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, members. Just one more comment to Senator Port's description of evictions. Members, we have to remember we had an eviction moratorium for multiple years here in Minnesota, and there was a backlog. That's why the numbers have increased, just to remind everybody. But Senator Port, I'm hoping you will help me compromise with you. And, you know, in statute, it says currently 2 years for this program. And I have the A2 amendment that would push that to 3 years.
Senator Dreheim offers the A2 amendment. The secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Dreheim moves to amend House File Number 1440 as follows. Page 1, line 14, delete more than 24. This is the A2 amendment.
Senator Dreheim to the A2 amendment.
Members, it just pushes what's already in statute. And if you want to look at the statute, it's 462A.204, subsection 5. And we're just moving it from a 2-year to a 3-year. So families would have 3 years to evaluate their situation and move on, you know, if they can't afford their current living structure. Hopefully we can get them into one of our many jobs programs, Mr. President, which I know you're very familiar with. And hopefully after 3 years, they will be able to afford some sort of affordable housing. Thank you.
Senator Port.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I will ask again for a no vote on this. There's nowhere for them to move on to at this point. And some of these families have been on assistance for almost 2 years now through the pandemic, close to 3 years. We would be asking families who have nowhere else to go to figure it out on their own. We are 103,000 affordable units below what we need in our current market. Those aren't going to pop up overnight. It's going to take time. We are decades of investment behind on building affordable housing. It's going to take time to build that. This is a program that we know works, that works in every county across the state of Minnesota. I ask for a no vote.
Senator Friends.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to request a roll call.
Roll call. Requested roll call granted. The secretary will take the roll. Members, please vote. Senator Murphy, those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, President Champion. Senator Dietzick votes no.
Senator Dietzick votes no.
Senator Pa votes no.
Senator Pa votes no.
Senator McEwen votes no.
Senator McEwen votes no. Senator Jasinski, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Westrum votes aye.
Senator Westrum votes aye. All senators having voted who desires to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 29 ayes and 34 noes, the A2 amendment is not adopted. Any further discussion? The secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House file number 1440, a bill for an act relating to housing, appropriating money for the Family Homelessness Prevention and Assistance Program.
Third reading. Any discussion? Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate it. And I want to compliment the bill's author for trying to help folks and families who are struggling with homelessness, as well as Senator Dreheim for the reasonable amendments he offered. And while this may be a short-term or temporary measure for folks, I hope we don't lose sight of some of the long-term solutions that we can utilize as a state when it comes to affordability of homeownership. The state needs to do what it can to deregulate and help us increase the supply of affordable housing across the state, both in the metro and in greater Minnesota, to help families and folks like this in need. And we also need to do what we can to encourage folks to become homeowners in this state. We know that the ability to buy a home can lead to generational wealth, which will help families for many generations to come. So while I appreciate this measure and the help it's going to provide folks here in the near future, in the near term, I hope we continue to do the work across Minnesota to, number one, increase our housing inventory for folks and also continue to make it affordable. We have to move in that direction in policies that are going to lower the cost of housing, not increase it or potentially exacerbate the shortage of inventory that we have. And so I'm encouraged by this bill, but hope that some of that more long-term work that will help people for generations to come will still continue. Thank you.
The secretary, Senator Bowden.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to speak briefly to this bill. I appreciate Senator Port for bringing it forward. It is impactful. It is important. It will make a difference in the lives of families in every corner of this state. And I think it's worth repeating that this is not just a housing bill. This investment will make a difference in the lives of families in terms of health outcomes, physical health, mental health, educational outcomes. Having stable housing impacts many aspects of families' lives. And these are families with children, with kids. So members, I encourage a green vote for this bill that will make a substantial difference in the lives of many families across the state.
Senator Nelson, and after Senator Nelson, anyone else? Because then I will go to Senator Port, who will give us the last word. Anyone else after Senator Nelson? Send down Senator Nelson and then Senator Port. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I rise in support of this bill. Obviously, without having a safe and secure, reliable place to lay your head every night, everything else is very difficult. I appreciate the trajectory of this bill. I do hope that we can also invest significantly in the prevention piece, homelessness prevention. And I would just remind members that in the 2021 tax bill, we did support $20 million a year for 6 years for homelessness prevention distributed to the counties. So my hope is that these programs work in tandem together to prevent homelessness. Thank you.
Senator Port.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, members. I am excited that we're moving this today. The regular appropriation of this program that happens quarterly was expended last time in 2 weeks. So this is an emergency infusion to help keep people in their homes, to help families stay stable, which is the foundation of safety, well-being, and growth in our communities. Every Minnesotan deserves a stable and safe place to call home, and I appreciate a green vote.
The Secretary will take the roll for final passage of House File 1440. Members, please vote. Senator Murphy, those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Senator Champion. President Champion. Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator Pa votes aye.
Senator Pa votes aye.
Senator McEwen votes aye.
Senator McEwen votes aye. Senator Jasinski, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Westrum votes no.
Senator Westrum votes no. All senators having voted who desires to vote, the Secretary... All senators having voted who desires to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There have been 42 ayes and 21 noes. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Now before the body is going to be Senate File 2265. Senator Wicklund.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, today I have Senate File 2265. During the COVID-19 federal public health emergency, the federal government required states to maintain eligibility for individuals who are on our public health programs, medical assistance, and Minnesota Care. And it temporarily halted all of the eligibility renewals in order to receive an enhanced federal match. At the end of 2022, in the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2023, Congress ended this continuous renewal requirement, and it will allow states to redetermine MA eligibility and Minnesota Care eligibility beginning on April 1st of 2023. So this bill contains some procedures or modifications of procedures and policies for the Department of Human Services to follow. It also appropriates funding And I will walk through the different articles. This bill includes provisions that allow DHS, the Department of Human Services, flexibility to administer programs due to the changing guidance from CMS, the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, regarding this public health emergency unwinding. Beginning with Section 1 includes waivers. It allows DHS COVID waiver CV-17 to remain in effect, which preserves health coverage under medical assistance and Minnesota Care, to remain in effect as needed to comply with federal guidance, and until the enrollee's first renewal following the resumption of the MA and Minnesota Care renewals after March 31st, 2023. Section 2 relates to public health emergency response. It extends the prohibition on collecting unpaid medical assistance employed persons with disabilities, that's MAEPD. It extends the prohibition on collecting these premiums through the month before an enrollee's first renewal after March 31st, 2023. It allows periodic data matching to be suspended for up to 12 months. It gives the elderly, blind, and people with disabilities on medical assistance extra time to spend down their assets to keep their coverage. And it includes several other provisions that allow the commissioner flexibility when administering medical assistance in Minnesota Care. Section 3 relates to healthcare grants to navigators, and it cancels an appropriation from fiscal year 2023 that was not utilized. Section 4 is an appropriations section, and I will go through the different appropriations. One appropriation from the general fund, $4.5 million, is to implement a 12-month disregard of assets for people who are age 65 and older, and people who are blind or have a disability, so they have more time to spend down excess assets before losing their coverage. Asset limits are currently quite low. They're $3,000 for a single adult, $6,000 for a household, and it's important to give people time to be able to spend down the assets rather than making it necessary to do it in a short time frame. And it will, it's meant to prevent some of the most vulnerable Minnesotans with the highest healthcare needs from losing coverage. The next appropriation, $23.2 million, is administrative resources to the department. The funding will be used for staffing and overtime, paper and postage needs. This process of redetermination is mostly a mail-based process. Providing support to county and tribal processing entities, and includes training, case-specific support for counties and tribes, and a rapid response team. Next, $1.8 million of this is the state share of systems funding to address following needs, address potential issues of duplicate and or mismatch cases. It operationalizes the METS tool. That's how DHS and counties process eligibility determinations, and allows the department to text enrollees whose eligibility is determined through MAXIS. $36 million is in flexible funding to counties and tribes who process eligibility determinations, and to help them hire additional staff, offer augmented training, purchase any needed equipment, and respond to other needs as redeterminations begin. From the Healthcare Access Fund, $4.9 million is funding for navigators who help public program enrollees, especially those for whom English is not their first language, help them apply for and enroll in coverage. And of that, $1.9 million is from anticipated underspending in fiscal year 2023 that will be newly appropriated in fiscal year 2024. Next, there is $5 million or $5.3 million from the Healthcare Access Fund. It is to suspend Minnesota Care premiums during the redetermination period. and this will help ease transitions in coverage between medical assistance and Minnesota Care. Minnesota Care premiums have been suspended during the public health emergency, and premium payment is normally required before coverage begins. Some Minnesota Care enrollees have not had to pay premiums as a condition of coverage before, so the change to suspend the premiums for this redetermination period is intended to mitigate any loss of coverage due to confusion about the premiums that they haven't been paying. And this bill, it also includes language related to fair hearings and appeals, and as I mentioned, continued suspension of periodic data matching. So for a little more background, Minnesota has been receiving an enhanced FMAP federal match, and that has brought in to the state since as of mid-January 2023, this enhanced federal funding has brought in an estimated net of $1.8 billion to the state. By the end of the calendar year, that number is expected to grow to $2 billion. If we do not get or pass this bill this week, and the department isn't able to submit a finalized mitigation plan, there is the possibility that we might lose out on some of the additional or some of our federal funding, and that could be approximately $117 million per quarter. So the bill is necessary for a number of different reasons. One is to be able to allow the counties and the department to get staffing in place as these redeterminations start happening as of April 1st. And the other is to help us get a satisfactory mitigation plan into the federal government and get that approved so that we aren't putting at risk some of our federal funding. And I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Senator Uckey.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members. I think Senator Wicklund, she explained a lot about the bill, and I had a couple comments, but it was well covered. But it's time to start this process of getting the applications back in play, getting people to reapply for the public benefits, which is great. It's a good move. We've got to get back to where we've got those that deserve the benefits that get them and those that need to move on and find benefits through another process to get that process started and getting them all set up. But with that, as I look through the bill, there is one thing that I would like to see different and recommend that we do adopt, and that is, if I could offer, Mr. President, the A-11 amendment.
Senator Uckey offers the A-11 amendment, and the Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Uckey moves to amend Senate File Number 2265. The second engrossment as follows. Page 4, delete Section 3 and insert. This is the A-11 amendment.
Senator Uckey, to your A-11 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. And members, what the A-11 amendment does is it was described earlier, the Healthcare Access Fund is being debited for $10,265,000 as far as this redetermination process plays out. And with the A-11 amendment, we've taken that money, that amount, and have gone back and debited the COVID-19 account. So we're using the COVID dollars that we received from the federal government, which was the reason for those dollars in the first place, to pay for a portion of this redetermination. And as the amendment is spelled out, we take that money from the COVID management account and put it into the general fund, and in the second page of the amendment, you will see where we take and delete the health care access name on both line, page 5, line 31, and page 6, line 9 and 16, and insert general fund. It's the way the money has to flow to go from the COVID dollars, COVID account, to pay for these monies that were in this bill to come from the health care access fund. So with that, members, I would ask for your support. It's the appropriate place to get the money. Actually, this whole thing would have been, the whole bill coming from the COVID dollars would be totally appropriate, but we're going back and just working with the health care access amount. And members, I would ask for your support.
Senator Friends.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to request a roll call vote, please.
Roll call, requested roll call granted. Senator Wicklund.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I would like to say I oppose the amendment. The choices that we made as far as funding the Minnesota Care premium loss out of the health care access fund is because that is where Minnesota Care funding comes from. And the Navigator grants have been funded out of the health care access fund over the past several years or many years. This isn't the time to change that, so I would oppose the amendment.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I stand in support of the amendment. I want to make sure that members and the public knows what is the health care access fund. The health care access fund is funded by taxing your health care, all health care in Minnesota. It's also a tax on the premiums taxed. So members, at a time when we have over $17 billion surplus, this bill is choosing to raid the health care access fund. Members, this makes health care more expensive. And we work incredibly hard to make the cost of health care less expensive to Minnesotans. And it is ill-advised at this time of massive budget surplus, when we even have COVID dollars, as this amendment, as the Utke amendment has, it's important that we use those COVID dollars as opposed to increasing taxes on the health care access fund. Members, that's what will happen when we raid the health care access fund. It will make health care more expensive. I stand in support of the Utke amendment and encourage a green vote if you want to keep health care costs lower.
Senator Abler.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I support the amendment, and I think it makes sense to protect the health care access fund. The health care access fund is being drained by the tune of somewhere around $1.2 billion in the spending proposals that are there. That comes from people who are receiving health care and paying health insurance. And there's a fund which is almost depleted by doing that. We pay currently 1.8% of every health care expense into that fund. Cash or insurance, and it was scheduled to blink down to 1.6%, but because of the decisions made in the budget agreement, the compromise agreement that included nobody on my side of the aisle, we were not allowed to be part of that discussion to preserve this healthcare access fund to reduce the burden on healthcare costs. And so taking money out of that is just one more way to put a greater burden on people who are sick. We used to call it the sick tax on a bipartisan way, and we were trying to get rid of it, and we did, and then actually carried the bill in 2011 to get rid of that, and Governor Dayton agreed, and then it reappeared at a slightly lower number. And I'll just comment on the whole bill besides that, Mr. President. The bill needs to be accomplished, but it would be better accomplished with the Utke amendment on, so I urge members to vote yes. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the secretary will take the roll. Members, please vote. Senator Jasinski, those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Westrom votes aye.
Senator Westrom votes aye. Senator Murphy, those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Dietzick votes no.
Senator Dietzick votes no.
Senator McEwen votes no.
Senator McEwen votes no. All senators having voted who desires to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 30 ayes and 32 noes, the amendment is not adopted. The secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate file number 2265, a bill for an act relating to human services, establishing procedures for the Commissioner of Human Services related to the transition from the public health emergency.
Third reading. Seeing no discussion, Senator Wicklund. Oh, I'm sorry. Before you, Senator Wicklund, we'll go to Senator Uckey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll stand up next time so I'm fully visible. But anyhow, members, it has been mentioned as we had discussion with the amendment about the good parts of this bill, and there is a lot. We've actually been working on this for, or hoping to see it even a couple years ago, as we were not sure when the end of COVID would happen. And now we've finally reached that point. This is an important bill. We need to go through that process of getting everybody to reapply and, again, serving those that qualify for the benefits and then helping those that don't move on to other forms of the benefit package. And so with this bill, it starts that process. It helps we get the department going. A lot of it goes to our counties because they're going to carry a lot of the workload as the people go in and start this. So I would urge your support so that we can get this process going, and over the 12-month period, they can get their job done. So with that, I'd urge a green vote. Thank you.
Senator Wicklund.
Members, I'll be brief. I echo Senator Aki's comments. This is an important bill that we get the funding allocated. The counties will be taking on an extremely large project in going through this process, and they need to have the resources to be able to do it, as well as the department. Our goal in this process is that no one loses coverage who is eligible. We want to prevent people from turning off the program who are eligible and possibly suffering consequences to their health, or also just the fact that processing renewals is better than doing a new enrollment. So I hope you'll join me in supporting the bill. Thank you.
The secretary will take the roll for final passage of Senate File 2265. Members, please vote. Members, please vote. Senator Murphy, those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator McEwen votes aye.
Senator McEwen votes aye.
Mr. President.
Senator Murphy.
I have one more vote, Mr. President.
You have one more vote for someone voting under Rule 40.7. Senator Murphy.
Senator Pah votes aye.
Senator Pah votes aye. Members, we're waiting for one more vote. Senator Jinsky, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Western votes no.
Senator Western votes no. All senators having voted who desires to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 46 ayes and 18 noes, the bill passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Mitchell. The secretary will report the motion.
Senator Mitchell moves that the name of Senator Klein be added as a co-author to Senate file number 474.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Members, we will now proceed to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Any announcements? Senator Abler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to announce something good happened. We had a exiting problem on Highway 10 during the remodeling, and I brought it to the attention of Commissioner Daubenberger, and she resolved it within a day. And so you wonder how things go sometimes, and actually sometimes good things happen at departments, and she went out of her way to solve this very local congestion problem during a very nice remodeling. But I just wanted to publicly thank her, and we had not met until we met on the phone, and I was just very pleased about that things can be resolved like that. So thank you, Mr. President.
Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session: Miller, Weisenberg, Lang, Audet, McEwen, 10 to 10:35 a.m., Liske, 10 o'clock to 10:45, and Latz from 10:50 to 11:05. Any additional announcements?
Mr. President.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Republicans will be caucusing right after session today in room 323. Thank you.
Any additional announcements? Senator Morrison.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do now adjourn until Thursday, March 30th at 11 a.m.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails, and the Senate is now adjourned.